Jason LaConfort covers the NFL for CBS Sports, and he joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Jason, I want to start first with your thoughts on this Browns team and where you see it headed going into training camp 2013.
Well, I mean, I think there's every opportunity for this organization to turn around under the new regime. Mr. Haslam's, whatever may or may be not be going on with him, unrelated to the Browns. You talk to anybody who was with him in Pittsburgh, anybody in the Rooney family, they thought he was, the kind of guy who could be a rock star owner if given the opportunity. And certainly, Cleveland has no better fan base, and there's no better place to be owning a football team than Cleveland. And obviously, they've been a sleeping giant for a long time. So, you've got to look to that. I mean, you look at Joe Banner's track record. Mike Lombardi is someone whose ability to be a personnel evaluator and to think outside the box and to be willing to take calculated risks, try to see trends before they emerge. I think they'll continue to be at the vanguard of that kind of stuff with the team of Banner and Lombardi in place. And they've got some pieces defensively. They continue to improve. And they've shown that they can hang with some teams pretty much in that regard. And the problem will be scoring points. And again, Rome wasn't built in a day. And, this regime has not been in place all that long. They've only had one offseason. I think Paul Kruger will help them out. I think a lot of the moves they made will incrementally get them where they want to go. But I also think you have to be realistic about exactly what they inherited and how big the job is. And people need to temper, immediate expectations and realize that this is total rebuild. I know we're Brown fans don't want to hear that, but especially in the offensive side of the ball, This really is a total rebuild.
Yeah, let's start there, because there was a general perception of good feeling that what Tom Heckert and the personnel group that was previously here did laid a good foundation, or at least a solid foundation. I don't know how many Pro Bowler difference maker type players were left behind, but at least a sense that the young players that were here could be built upon, because that was kind of the thinking before the changeover. So you're not so keen on what's here for North Turner, for Rob Chudzinski to work with.
I think they're going to have to really scheme it up, Nick. I think when you really break things down and get realistic about, just look within their division and look at skill positions and rank where they would fit. I mean, you don't know if they have a quarterback. Brandon Whedon looks like someone who was horribly overdrafted. And I'm not saying that means he can't play in the league, but for what they gave up to get him, for where they took him, they didn't need to take him that high. And I don't believe he's their quarterback of the future, and he may not be their quarterback of the present. Brian Hoyer came in there late, but really, really smart kid, really dedicated, very enthusiastic about the opportunity. And he impressed in that limited window there and showed that he could already grasp that playbook and, could be North Turner's shadow and really go out, take every opportunity to try to master what's been put before him. Jason Campbell has a big arm. He's been very unlucky in his career. But you just look at some of the things he can do and how it might fit the North Turner offense, and you say, well, that's someone who maybe could be a Band-Aid starter for them or a stopgap starter. But the reality is their quarterback of the future is not on that roster. Pretty much you can guarantee that.
Right.
Again, unless Brian Hoyer really turns out to be something, you can guarantee that. Running back, Trent Richardson, I know there's been a panic in Cleveland about him missing August and all this stuff. I hear he'll be ready for the start of camp, but the problem is, will he go down again, and how durable will he be, and how much tread really was taken off his tires in that pro-style Alabama system and that pro-style Alabama training regimen? We shall see. But certainly, is he the kind of explosive back who in this day and age merits being drafted that high? I don't see it. Not when you're getting running backs off the street, and not when that position's been woefully devalued. And then you even look at wide receiver. I mean, Josh Gordon, did they have to take him in the second round of supplemental draft? No, they probably could have got him in the third or the fourth, and there were off-field concerns with him, and those have already manifested themselves. So you're looking at someone who's going to be suspended, someone who now, if he slips up again, those penalties will only continue to increase. Tight end, they're trying to do that and get younger there. We'll see how that develops. But you really look at that offense, and I think there's two building blocks. You've got a center who they want to extend, and I think at some point they will, probably sooner rather than later. And you got a left tackle. And outside of that, you really don't have anything that's a plus for you. You have some question marks. You hope Greg Little's a player. I already had looked really good in OTAs and all that, but you don't have much you can bank on. And I think when you're talking about a division where Cincinnati's shown offensive prowess, Baltimore's shown offensive prowess, and the Steelers were maybe having their best offensive year before Roethlisberger got hurt. That's a tall chore to think that this coaching staff and this front office in year one is going to be able to turn all that around on the offensive side.
Well, I hope you're proud of yourself. You ruined all the summers of collective Browns
fans. I'm just trying to make people
I'm kidding you.
Be realistic, though, because I think you're right, Vic. I think there was a sense of, wow, the coverage really stopped.
Right.
I think if you parse it back, really, was it? Like, in real time, when they're making those draft day trades, I'm sitting there on TV saying, I love what they're doing. I get this. But then those picks have to be players, you know? Yeah. Those picks have to turn into players. And if those picks are a second-year quarterback who maybe isn't even your starter now, I mean, it would be his job to lose, but Brandon Whedon could lose that job. You know, when there's already questions about Richardson and when some of the issues with Gordon already manifested itself, I mean, that was supposed to be their triplets right there, right? I mean, that was supposed to be the trio that turns everything around and they finally get to be a robust offensive team and they're finally scoring points. And if they fall behind early, it's not a death sentence. And now you're looking there and saying there's major question marks about those three, and there wasn't much outside of those three. And all three of them, even in real time, people were saying, man, he didn't have to trade up even more to get Trent Richardson. Man, he didn't have to take Brandon Whedon in the first round. And, man, you didn't have to give up a second-round pick for Josh Gordon. Yet they did. And I think, you know, those are what look to be sins now that this other regime is going to have to try to get them out of. And I think people just need to be cognizant of, you know, the checks and balances and exactly where this group is starting from. Because I think offensively, aside from a couple offensive linemen, they're more or less starting from scratch.
Jason Lockenfora from CBSSports.com joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline. Check out his work there. And I've done that, looking at some of your recent columns. Let's start with Washington. You touched on the fact that, of course, and this was a player that a lot of Browns fans had their eye on before the 2012 draft, wanting to see this team land Robert Griffin III, wanting to make that deal to move up to get him. They tried to do so and fell short of that. But your column basically says calm down on the obsession over RG3 and that maybe the whole rock star status thing that he built in his rookie year in Washington isn't entirely warranted.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, a lot of this has just been blown out of proportion. Part of it is on the team for, you know, doing all this in real time, for putting him out there while he's rehabbing and having him doing jumping jacks in front of cameras and have him, you know, have him take part in the portion of OTAs that are open to the media. I mean, there's ways to sequester players and to keep those things behind closed doors and to temper expectations, and they've done anything but that. And then I just think, you know, everything he did this offseason seemed to get so blown out of proportion. I mean, the kid just couldn't win. You know, people want to send him presents, and he's a bad guy. He takes a picture of himself and puts it on Twitter, and then, you know, people are criticizing him and attacking him personally. You know, I just think you've got to remember sometimes that these are 22, 23-year-old kids, and just let them breathe a little bit, and they'll make some mistakes. I think his, though, on the whole, have been completely minor. I mean, if the worst thing he did was take a picture of himself in front of a bunch of gifts that people sent him, then I think we need to remember that he's, by and large, a pretty stellar individual and someone who looks like an exemplary role model, at least from what we know of him now. So I think sometimes we need to separate, you know, some of the social media criticism from reality.
What do we think, though, as far as the player and coming back from this injury? And like you said, the Redskins have also been trying to push this idea that.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I think we just don't know. And again, I think it's unfortunate that some people around him have ratcheted up expectations or have kind of not helped his cause, whether it be his dad coming out and lashing out at the coach, or whether it's James Andrews and Mike Shanahan having a little bit of a public squabble about who cleared him to play last year and how ready he was to play, you know, last year, end of the regular season, going into the playoffs. But this is two ACLs now for him. And look, he's a superior athlete. He's got some freakish ability, and he's determined as heck to come back. So will he come back sooner rather than later in the season? If it's not week one, do I suspect it's pretty early in September? Yeah, I do, just based on everything I know about the kid and based on certainly what the team wants. But, yeah, where will he be in week 12? Where will he be in week 17? You know, I think those are probably more pertinent questions because if you do try to do too much too soon, if you do push yourself a little bit in August or September, you could end up paying for that in October or November. So I'm not going to say that I have a crystal ball, but I do feel like if they run that offense exactly as they did last year and if he's put out in space on an island with guys twice his size there to knock his head off, then I think more injuries will persist, whether they be of the head, because certainly he had a two big blows to the head and concussion, at least one concussion last year, and then also those knees now. I mean, that you know, people know that he's vulnerable there, and unfortunately, for better or for worse or whatever, that this is a violent sport, and injuries happen, and it's a game of attrition.
Another piece you did on the surprise teams you expect in the 2013 season. I'm going to take a wild guess that one of them won't be the Cleveland Browns, but give me a sense of who you think will be surprising in 2013. How about the Miami Dolphins?
You know, a lot of people are really riding the hype train with them as well. Given all the money they spent, all their signings, how active they were in the offseason, I actually think that may hasten the demise of that front office there, because they have ratcheted up expectations, and there's a sense that, you know, Mike Wallace and Danelle Ellerby and all these guys who they paid big money to are going to be difference makers there, and I'm not sure they will. I don't know that the Dolphins still aren't, you know, the third best team in that division, and the Patriots wrapped that thing up by Thanksgiving, and, you know, I don't know. I don't know how many more wins Miami bought themselves. I think that they end up being right about what they were, a 500 football team, and again, given all the money they're spending now and what everyone's thinking, I'm not sure that's going to be good enough to keep the status quo. You know, so I think they're a team, you know, that on the downward side of the ledger.
Okay.
You know, you might look at people again, think they're going to be all that, and Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden is getting all this off-season buzz, but I still remain a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to them, Zay.
So who are you bullish on as a surprise?
You know, I'm trying to think. Wrote that column a while back, and now I'm just kind of trying to read.
Oh no! Well, I'll refresh your memory. Rams and Saints were two teams that I think you were high.
I'm definitely big on the Rams. I love their draft again. I think they've made some bold gambles that, by and large, have paid off for Jeff Fisher. You know, now losing P to a suspension isn't ideal, and they're willing to risk guys who have some concerns in terms of off field, but they haven't really paid the cost for that yet. And I think Sam Bradford's ready to move forward. They've gotten him some pieces. They've readdressed that offensive line, and they made bold moves last year defensively and really became a pretty ferocious unit by the end of the season. They seem to have a template figured out for that 49ers read option stuff. They really did a great job against them and kind of sent the benchmark. And they did a great job against RG3. I mean, all those teams they faced to do that, they seem to have success against even Seattle to some degree. So I really think that's a team that, would I be surprised if three teams from the NFC West made the playoffs? Yeah. Would I be stunned or shocked? No. I mean, I think that, you know, the Rams were not that far off a year ago. And, yeah, the Saints, I mean, you get Sean Payton back, I think that immediately changes everything about that organization. They have no place to go but up defensively. And I think some of the struggles we saw from Drew Brees early last year, I don't think we'll see that kind of stuff happening with Sean Payton again there, taking the reins of that offense. So I think that's a team that can definitely make some strides as well.
All right. Well, hope you're way off on the gloom and doom for the Browns, but I get where you're coming from. I get your analysis. I know it's done. I know you're not pulling it out of the sky, but I'm just saying.
No. And then look, I'm not saying that they're only going to win three games or anything like that. I mean, I haven't really thought about attaching a numerical value or going through their schedule and parsing out the wins and losses. But I just think, you know, that's a franchise that's going to have to make a leap offensively. And I think there's no greater mind to do that than North Turner. And I think he'll be a huge asset for Coach Krzyzewski, you know, as he moves forward on his sort of maiden head coaching voyage there. But again, it's going to take time. And I don't think that break, I don't think you can be, you know, honest and realistic and say that if you look at that roster right now and what they inherited, that you can expect that breakthrough to come right away. That's something that with the cap space they have, and with an owner who's certainly willing to spend, and with the draft picks that they accrued for 2014, I think you'll see a lot of that invested on offense next year.
Right.
But I do think they're not inheriting a whole lot to me.
Well, Jason, I always appreciate the knowledge and the breakdown, and I hope we can do this again sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks, Vic.
All right.
Have a great one.
He is Jason Lockenfour from CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline, right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.